Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, my podcast. I'm Pastor Paul. This is episode 296, part 2. This is Sunday, Father's Day, June 16th, 2013. Wishing all those fathers out there a very happy Father's Day.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Well, people will let you down, but Jesus will never let you down.
Amen.
Never. I will never leave you, in the original Greek, no. No, never, no, never, no, never. Now, when God says something three times, he's trying to make a point. I will positively, unconditionally love you, even though you are the world's worst stinker. Paraphrased. Of course, you knew that, didn't you? Now, he is utterly dependable to save you to the uttermost. Now, in the world, we have our idols. Oh, man, isn't he the most? But we have one that's the uttermost. Hallelujah. Someone that's the uttermost. Christ. Now, if you're not working for the cause of Christ, you won't know how much fun it really is. You won't know how that all of a sudden you are made willing in the day of his power to do something. Why do you do this, Pastor Paul? Well, I was made willing. God made me willing to do it. I wasn't willing to do it. Huh? You ever hear that song? Oh, you made me love you. Are you hearing this? Oh, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you, Lord. Huh? God will make you love him. How many are hearing this? You made me do it. And so when people ask me, they say, oh, the devil made me do it. I can just say, well, God made me do it. Why did you do it? God made me. Don't your earthly parents make you do things? You don't want to do them. No, I get all the dirty work around just because I'm the oldest. No, I hate this brother of mine. Oh, I'm sorry. I just happened to be. I'm the oldest. I have to suffer like this. Oh, that twerp of a brother of mine. Ooh. Ah, when you get 30 years old, you'll love each other, you know? But not before. Oh, way. I just wanted to get your attention. I think I got it now. Put your stones down. Follow me. Are you hearing this? See, these first three steps, which are away from the old, are steps sort of into a void. You don't know what to expect. The unseen, the unknown, the unheard of. The Bible calls it that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. That area I'm talking about. That gray area when you don't know what's going to happen and your heart is beating and you, oh God, what's going to happen next? Oh, I don't hear nothing. I don't see nothing. Oh, and I'm not talking about those three monkeys they put on a plaque. Some of the people freak out right here. You say you're going to make a new move? Oh, you say that you want to take and get next to a railroad track so that railroad cars can go by and you just take your forklift out and lift it up and bring it in? Yeah. That's what I want to do.
Hey, don't do it! My uncle did that. Hey, Floppo.
Why not? Why not believe? Why not take up your cross? Why not go into the unseen, the unheard, the unknown? Why not step out in what they call faith? That's what faith really is. And so, the next three are come, take up the cross, and follow me, and they are victory. Always, when you take up the cross, and you say, when Jesus says come, and you take up the cross, and you follow him, there is always a victory. But with every victory, of course, there has to be a battle, and the bigger the battle, the bigger the victory. Okay, are you ready now? Are you ready with both feet turned in the same direction? And your whole heart, you really want to get into it now. You really thought it out, and you really want to move on it. Let's enter into Abraham's and Lot's story. You mean you're just getting started? Yeah. Oh, my. Well, he starts anyway. And he goes down, it says, into Egypt with a slight detour. Going down into Egypt. Oh, detour, it's occupied ahead. Detour, to famine we've been led. Oh, detour, huh? Don't we sometimes take detours? And so Lot went down into Egypt. And there it says, got rich. And the world calls him and those like him very successful. There, right there, is the beginning of trouble. And the trouble between Lot and Abraham. And the Bible says they came up out of the country rich. Are you against being rich? No. It's what you do with what you got. Now, you can go to hell by squeezing a quarter and not helping anybody, same as squeezing $1 million. But anyway, it says, they came up out of the country rich. Well, down there, Abraham, it says, fell into sin, denied that Sarah was his wife. We find that his son Isaac did the same thing, fell upon the same stumbling stone that Abraham fell upon. That just goes to show us that our kids, somewhere in their lives, follow our example. Our very footsteps down into Egypt, the world. In my life, I took a detour. Before that I came to know Christ 15 years ago, I detoured. I detoured down into the world when I was 13 or 14 to boys' school, little jail time, service, little working, skid row, back up into the world, became wealthy. Detours. Praise God, I came up out of it. Detours, we all take them. And it says, when they came up from going down into Egypt, falling down in Egypt, we find strife, we find confusion among, it says, the herdsmen. Riches, very oftentimes, bring strife and trouble. It did in my life. I'd know really what to do with money now if I had it. Just give it away. Take care of what your needs are and so on like that. But, you know, think about the poor. Think about the less fortunate. See, all steps down begin with a wrong idea. Kids, remember that. Someone will come along and they'll have a wrong idea for you. They'll say, hey, and they'll be on the side of the building over there. Come here. I'm always kind of leery of someone that's standing around the side of a building going, come here. I just sort of say, well, what do you want? Why can't you come out here? What's back there? Godzilla or what? Just what does this mean? All steps downward start out with a wrong idea. Someone says, you know what? I just got an idea. Do you ever have friends like that, kids? I used to have friends like that. You know what? I got a good idea. Let's go into the store and we'll put on these t-shirts, see? And, you know, we'll just keep putting them on, putting them on, putting them on, putting them on, and putting them on. Then we'll put our jacket on, we'll walk out, see? You ever have friends like that? I never did fall into that. Because they knew I was the skinniest kid there was. I weighed 129 pounds. No, I take that back. I weighed 79 pounds. And if I come out looking like that, why... See, they know something was wrong. But do you ever have friends like that? It all starts out with a wrong idea. Do you ever have somebody come over to your house just in the afternoon to visit, and they come out, you don't mind if I use you, do you? Okay, pick on somebody else next week. Because you won't be here. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Don't fear. So many preachers fear everything. You know, they're always, oh, hi, and, you know, they just go on like that. No. Do you ever have somebody come to your house and they come up with an idea? You know, I just had an idea. They're pulling on their earlobe. Huh? Do you ever have a friend like that that has an idea? Do you ever have a friend like that? And dad, have a friend like, and have an idea? I remember one time years ago, they came around to me and said, hey, you know, we get an idea. They're building over there, you know, and you can just go over there and take all that lumber. They got all kinds of money. And you know what? I says, no way would I ever get into that. This is federal housing, guys, and you'll get caught, and they'll lock you up. I can see you behind bars. And ah! You know who was sitting in the weeds with binoculars? The FBI. And watch them guys until they got all their garages built. All their cabins built, and then they called them all into court. Oh, God. Oh, what an idea that was. Boy, was I glad I didn't fall for that idea. Well, you mean you weren't tempted? Sure I was. I seen those double, triple garages going up, you know, put a boat on one side, put your tent and camping gear in there. You could put three cars in there, you know. You could put all the bikes in there and still have room. Sure, I was tempted, but I was very fearful of getting caught. Besides, I just didn't want to do it. All steps downward start with a wrong idea. Steps in liking somebody. You can start to dislike them by having a wrong idea and take steps down and away from that person. Did that ever happen to you? And then you wonder what happened to your friendship? Yeah. Well, what happened? We were such good friends. All steps, let me say one more time. All steps down begin with a wrong idea. What will make me happy ideas? That's a step down. What will make me popular? I can be the cheerleader. Sis, bomb, boom, bang, huh? Who are we for? Yay, huh? Are you against that? No. But if that's what you think is going to make you happy, or things that people will look up to me, that's a step downward. And here are the steps down. They will always get you messed up, mixed up, screwed up, tied up, and fed up. Well, praise God, Abraham didn't say, let's go to court. He said, nephew, we can't afford to argue here among the heathen. Let there be no strife between us. In other words, don't show your eternal family face to everybody. Do you want everybody to know every little fight you have in your family? Well, we very rarely have a debate or an argument. Liars. Liars. You on the radio, I know your little family's sitting there right now pinching on each other. But you don't have to let everybody see your action. Right? Here he says it. We can't afford to argue here among these heathen. If you have a fight at home, don't tell everybody about it. They have their own fights. Some people are so good at telling everybody every time they have some kind of a little debate or some kind of a frying pan hit. Are you hearing? Or church problems. Don't go out advertising every time you have a little bit of problem in your church. You hear me on the radio? Guess what happened in church? Is that edifying? Paul says, let everything be done for edification. You can't afford it. Right here, he's saying you can't afford it. There's enough against you. You can't afford to let it all hang out. You can't afford to let everybody know what's going on all the time, and it's none of their business anyway. And plus, it's boring. And so Abraham was a man of faith. He knew to ask, and he knew to seek, and he knew to knock. And so here, there are three stages of intensity here. Ask. Inquire about what we want. Seeking. Setting the life in the direction of finding what you want. And Jesus says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. And so Abraham here we see had learned to listen to God and not go by sight. He turned from questions to quest. Shorten it up a little bit. Are you hearing this? Questions, even in our mind, for the most part, are time wasters. Well, what will happen if we do make that decision? What will happen? I mean, let's just think down the road at the consequences for doing this good. And so he went beyond the question, and from beyond that questioning period, to the quest. What do you want, Lord? Yeah. Then knocks at the door. We, like Abraham, can press for immediate entrance right now in Luke 6, 47, 48. Listen to it. Jesus says, "Everyone who comes to me and listens to my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like, a man who laid his foundation upon the rock." Now we're going to get into the steps going up. Well, what is the remedy to start with? The remedy is give up. And the result is fixed up. The Bible says, come to me, not to your wife, not to your husband, not to your maid, not to a doctrine, not to this or that, not to a rite, not to a church. Because if you do, you begin steps down. Mixed up, I said. Messed up, I said. Screwed up, I said. Tied up, I said. And so, step two up. Listen to my words. Jesus says, will you listen? Do you have ears? Will you listen? He says, listen to my words. And some people are so busy talking, they never get a person a chance to say a word, get a word in edgewise. That's like having an appointment with a president. And for 1 hour, all you do is doing all the talking. And then when you leave, you say, President, Your Honorship, sir, is there anything you'd like to add to this? There is such a thing as being a good listener. You want to find out where a person's at? Listen. Give enough time and you keep listening, you'll find out exactly where that person is at by listening. The art of listening, listen, you kids, the art of listening is the art of living. And the art of living is the art of learning. I remember years ago when I would work with kids. I worked with kids 3 and 4 years old and up to 15. I had all kinds of them. And I would get their full and undivided attention. See, now you're way back there. If my arms were long enough, I could get a hold of you. But I'd have them sit right in the front rows and I would minister to their need. And their need was to learn to listen. Because before that, they can't learn anything. If they don't learn how to listen, they can't learn anything. You kids back there are listening pretty good today. That's good. Because you know why? If you learn and you practice listening, you're going to learn a lot. So important. So important for the pastor to learn how to listen to the voice of the Lord. For we live, it says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not what comes out of ourselves. Praise God for that. And so step number three up, acts upon them if we don't act upon what we hear. Do you know what will happen? We will hear nothing. The speaking begins when we act. You move, God speaks. So much of ministry right now is, I'm waiting on the Lord for Him to say something. No. You move in faith. And you move in faith. And as you move in faith, God speaks. Now, example. You have a little one. Say your kids, what are the kids' names anyway? Your young people here. What are your names? Vicky and Dan? Okay. Let's say Vicky is just a little one and you want to teach her how to walk. Well, you hold her up and you talk to her while she's walking. That's it, baby. Put that foot out there and you swing her body that way. And then you say they walk that day. Actually, you swing their body that way and you swing their body that way. Huh? You talk to them. And as they're learning and as they're listening, you're talking. God won't talk to you until you're in motion. You don't learn anything by just sitting. When you teach him how to eat, you say, here comes the old fire engine. Ooh, open up your mouth. Huh? Don't you talk to him? Don't you now pick up the rag and learn how to wash your face. Huh? Now eat your ice cream cone all by yourself. Huh? Yeah. They learn. See, you got to have the theory and the practical together. And so much Christianity is all theory, no practical. It's like learning how to fly an airplane out of a book. Oh, right rudder, left rudder. No, you got to get up in that thing. Right, Ken? You got to get up in there and you got to fly. You got to know the theory and the practical, and you got to get the feel of it. And then God speaks to you. And then the instructor speaks to you as you go. Oh, it's so much fun when you're as you're going, God tells you what to do. No, you aren't going to just, Lord, give me direction. Give me direction. Lord, 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 Lord. Huh? And you're just going around in a circle. You start to walk and God will give you direction. I was coming from St. Paul this morning and the Lord says, Paul, get ready for a new thing. Oh. Ooh, what's that mean? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, maybe I'll be it today. I don't know. So anyway, getting back to Abraham, he would not argue over material junk with Lot. You go to the right, or you go to the left, or you go to the left, or you go to the right. I don't care which way do you want to go. You take your pick. Because Abraham knew it was far better to split right there than to argue doctrine in front of the world. You take your pick, Abraham says. And this was the beginning of Lot's trouble. If Lot, you see, would have let God choose for him, he never would have gone down to Sodom. And that is very clear. The Lord never took Lot by the hand and led him into all that misery. No. And do you, I should ask something right here. How many people in here are so, I think we all kind of are prone to go by sight. By where the grass looks greener on the other side. The grass looks greener on the other side. And all together, radio audience, the grass looks greener on the other side. And the grass looks greener, huh? Are you hearing this, radio audience? It looks a little greener over there towards Sodom. And they probably said, oh, Lot, the herdsman said, you made a wise decision. And it says that he pitched his tent next to the edge. They probably said, you know what, you're pretty shrewd. I seen you working that. Hey, you worked that pretty shrewd. You're a good businessman. You're keen. You're a sharpie. You got all the well-watered plains of Sodom. And I think he was a man that was commended for his action. The spirit of Lot is in the world right now. Wise decision. After all, he asked you what you wanted to do. And so Abraham, the Bible says, and I'll lock it up. Abraham let his nephew make his choice and split. Many times, folks, in an argument, if you give the other party first choice in an argument, you'll find out the true will of God. Because it's the hardest thing for us to give up is a decision in an argument by saying, you make the choice. You make, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is on that. You, radio somebody, you make the choice. That's helping somebody right now. Anybody in here got helped by that? Somebody got helped by that. Well, y'all got helped by it. I'll put my hand up. I got helped by it. I said many times in an argument, if you give the other party the first choice in that argument, you'll find out the true will of God. Just be quiet and listen. And so I said, this was the beginning of Lot's troubles. I think it was Lot's biggest mistake. When we choose for ourselves, we always make mistakes of some kind. In favor of Adam, in favor of self, in favor of lust, in favor of position or reputation. And so Abraham had made the five T steps. What's that? Turn around. He turned to God and away from self. And he took a second T step. Turn down. It's no use to turn around if you don't turn down old habits and old ways. You have to say no to something before you can say yes to new things. T-step three. Tune in. Now you are set to hear God, and God will speak, but you must get on His wavelength and tune in. T-step number four. Tune up. Your life will need constant toning up. Always tuning it up. Every morning, tune yourself. Fine-tune for the day before you start out. How do you do that? Right here. You just seek the Lord. Lord, put me in tune with the day. Did you ever notice how off-tune the world is some days? You know, if you're on-tune, it'll help out a whole lot. Okay, step number five in the T things. The end of life is to get you beyond yourself. Oh, if we could only go beyond ourselves. A self-centered person is a very, self-disruptive person. An other-centered person is a healthy person. You know, a lot of healthy moms are, they kind of center themselves on their kids, and that's beautiful. And they're not all tied up with themselves. That's why a lot of times women are strong, because they center their life, and the husbands too, they center their life on those kids. Our kids don't appreciate it until they get 30 years old and stop fighting, but you know what I mean? That's what keeps us healthy, is caring. All right? And there's your mom, and you care for her, and you bring her to church, and that's so beautiful. You know what I mean? And that's that kind of caring. So you don't see a lot of that. You know what I mean? That's what keeps you a real person. Doesn't it? Doesn't that make you a real person because you care for each other? Sure it does. Doesn't that make you a real person? Well, sometimes you get mad at the kids, give them a knobby on the head. It's because you care for them. Yeah, she says, Let me wrap this up, folks. But it's the truth, isn't it? Are you all hearing me here today? Am I making any... Am I nuts? Don't answer that. But anyway, Lot wanted to choose for himself. I will choose the way that I want to go. And so it says, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he played peekaboo. And the sounds and the smells of the city and the laughing in the city and the wondering what them old nasty dirty sinners are doing over there, the kind of thinking in his mind. And pretty soon he made a decision to enter in. And he entered into the business, Lot's lumberyard. Lot's fix-it shop, Lot's rental-alls, Lot's flying service. all of these different things. Lot's grocery store, and he entered into the world. Later on, it says that a couple of angels came to visit. And it also says that Lot was sitting by the gate. Now, he had to be an official. Maybe he was the judge. Maybe when he came down the street, they said, here come the judge. I don't know. And when the angels approached the gates, he recognized them and he took them into the city. That must have been most embarrassing. All of these people yelling and screaming out, "Hey, Lot, my man, what's happening? Hey, Lot, blah, blah, blah," and so on like that. You know what I mean? And it says that the people of the city wanted to have sex with the angels. And the angels said, "Do you have any other of your family living around here?" And Lot said, "Well, yeah, I've got this and that." And he went all through all the names and everything. And he said, "Well, go fetch him up, because we are going to destroy the angels of death. We're going to destroy Sodom." And so he's an old man. He had to go running by all of his shop stores. And he's catching a reflection of himself in these windows as he goes by, all haggard and worried and withered and everything. He knocks on the door. "Come on out! They're going to destroy! The angels are going to destroy! Ah, ha, 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 ha!" And they threw beer bottles at him and old Jim Crow bottles and all of this. Jim Beam, is there another kind here? And all that velvet, the velvet whiskey kind of thing. And the whole bit, see? And he said, "Come on, I'm serious. The angels are going to destroy." And he gets his wife to leave. And he gets a couple daughters to leave. And the rest of them wouldn't come. And they say, "Don't look back." And it says in the Bible that his wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And he took his two daughters out. And later on in the Bible it says the daughters had sex with him. You know why Lot got out of that? Because God found him. God found him righteous. God will have mercy on those that he'll have mercy on. You know what that shows me? That the redemptive, the blood of Christ is stronger than any sin. That in fact, it has washed away every sin. That it has conquered death. And that if you're sitting here today and you haven't received, or listening on the radio, you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could have lived in Sodom all of your life and you can come on out of there. And all you have to do is say, "Yes, I am a sinner. I want to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ," and that will take you out. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you've backslidden and you think, "Well, now I'm going to hell because a legal beagle told me I'm going to hell, and so now I'm going to hell." What kind of a gospel is that? What kind of a perverted gospel is that? It says that I will remember your sins, plural, no more, past, present, and future, perfect tenses. And I mean, in the original Greek, it's just the grace of God. It's so crystal clear. What a wonderful gospel message. It'll make you appreciate Jesus so much that you'll dedicate your life and your cause and your purpose and your plan will be to follow Jesus Christ to the best of your ability. And you'll have your failures and so on like that. But you know, love covers them all. I've heard just about every kind of preaching there is, from every kind of preacher there is. And I've heard the Bible-thumping moral majorities, and I've heard all of them out there, and the legalist and the finger pointing and all of this, jumping up and down and losing your wig and everything else. I mean, it just total insanity, and people yell, "Pray!" Screaming and carrying on like that, and then go home and be meaner than hell itself. I tell you, folks, it's just loving God and doing His work. It's a real, real simple thing, see? And it's just being yourself. Don't get into a thing where you have to talk a certain way. "Praise God." And you have to, don't be real. Because when you get home, you're different anyway. Aren't you different at home, folks, than when you're in church here? No, you're real well-behaved in here. God only knows what you do when you get home. I mean, it's none of my business. You know what I mean? It's true, though, isn't it? It's really. Now, that's just truthful preaching, ain't it? You know what I mean? We're just natural, normal folks that God's love. How can God love such mean, wicked sinners? Because He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save perfect, father know best families. No, He didn't. No, He didn't come to save them kind of people, because they're so perfect, see, and everything is all planned and orderly in their life. They wouldn't even need God. We need God because a lot of times we are mean. Say amen, somebody, see? But we're growing. Every day we're growing. Every day we're getting a little better. And there's dedication involved, isn't there? There's giving up things. And it isn't always as easy as all that, but I'll tell you what is easy, believing that God loves. Hey, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't even be doing what I'm doing. I believe that God loves me, and I know that. Why do I know that? All the Bible tells me so. I learned that in Sunday school when Granny took me to Sunday school. How do I know it? The Bible tells me so. And that stayed in my heart all of those years. How do I know it? The Bible tells me so. Somebody asked you, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know? How can you be for sure? Well, I can see that you're not for sure. See, a person that preaches unsureness is unsure of themselves, so they're trying to prove a point. You just tell them, hey, do you want to relax and you want to, you know, take it easy on yourself? I mean, you know, you're saved. And, you know, admit you're a nasty, dirty sinner just like me, and you're saved, okay? Yeah, can you do that? Then you'll start changing, but you'll never change. You'll just stay the hard, mean, stiff-necked, legalistic, go to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come, and sin where nobody can see you. You're that kind of person, see? Yeah, yeah. And you'll never grow. Or you'll just say, God, take me right where I'm at. And He will. He's the only one that wants us anyway. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for today, and thank you for all these people that are in here and all these beautiful people on the radio. Keep those cards and letters coming, please. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. Is everybody in here saved today?
That was episode 296. That was part two, the conclusion to Lot's life. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you did miss part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Join us next Friday for Direction. Have a great week, a great Father's Day, and God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks, you may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. captured spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.